to the
end. Thank you guys for
dwelling us this
well,
morning to sing.
The gist of it,
if you would take your Bibles and turn to
1 John chapter 2.
This morning
we're
going to
look at verses 18 through 25 of 1 John chapter 2.
If you'd like to use a Bible from the church, there's one
in
the pew in front of you.
You
could grab that, and if you would just turn to page 1021, that should get you to 1 John chapter 2.
Loving and submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord
These
Jesus Christ, as explained in the apostles' message
of
God
the
says
gospel. Children.
So here's how he says that. Verse 24.
It is the last hour.
Let.
So this is the admonition.
And as you have heard,
let the Antichrist
what you have heard from the beginning abide in you.
Now, many Antichrists
what you have
heard come.
From the beginning is,
therefore,
he's
we know that it is
them,
the last hour.
The things that myself
they went out
the
from us, but they were
have taught
not with us. For
Jesus
if they had been with us,
what he has done,
they would have
remember those,
continued
those
with
things
us.
That we ourselves, as the apostles,
that it might become plain
delegates of the apostles, those things that those men that heralded the apostolic message.
But
that, you know what you have heard us say from the beginning about
have
Jesus.
Been anointed.
Continue
by
believing
the
and
Holy
loving
One.
And submitting to those things that you have
and
heard
you have
about Jesus.
This
and you have
there's
all.
No, there's no,
and you all
no place
have
to change horses
sorry.
In the middle of the
I
stream
write to
here.
You.
That
the majority,
we
start
the truth,
with believing these
not
things with Jesus. And after
and
we begin
no
believing these things about Jesus,
is of the
what
truth.
Do we do next? We continue believing these things about Jesus.
He who denies that Jesus
once
is
you become a follower of Christ, what is next for you?
The Antichrist.
Continue
he
being a follower
who denies
of Christ.
The Father and
let
the Son.
What you have heard
no
from the
one who denies the Son
we
has
have
the Father.
Told you.
Whoever confesses
now remember,
the
where
Son
did the, where did the apostles the think this stuff up? I mean,
remember John
let
told us
what you have
in
heard
the very first part of his letter,
the beginning,
in verse 5 of chapter 1. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to
if
you.
If what you have heard from the beginning abides
saying,
in you,
that,
then
that
you
I
too will abide
Jesus,
in the Son
the
and
now
the Father.
Jesus,
and this
the reason I'm telling you
is the promise
about Jesus
that
and the
he has made to
which
us.
I'm telling you these things about
life.
Jesus. Is this is what
thank
Jesus
you, Father,
told
for your word. There's no
this is what
word
I heard
like
Jesus
your word.
I was right there
Father,
beside
our
him.
Prayer this morning
so
is that
this
you
is
would
so beautiful
show us
because sometimes
wonderful
people attack the Christian
from
faith
your
and they
word.
Say,
well,
that
you
these
know,
words
the Bible,
that we've just
it's like
read,
mythical.
They're,
it's been
they're
corrupted
not
over the
mere
years.
Words,
I mean, we don't
that they
know
are
what
words
Jesus
of
even
life.
Said.
They
we
are
don't
words
know
of
what part
Spirit.
The apostles have made up. We don't know what
to not merely
nefarious people
things,
since the apostles have added and subtracted and taken away. I mean,
the very
so how
way
can you really rely upon the New
live.
Testament scriptures to give us any sort of accurate record?
Well,
first of all, there's just no objective evidence that the New Testament texts have ever been altered or tampered with. And what we're told here is that what John is explaining to us, what you and I are hearing this morning, we're getting it straight out of John's mouth, who got it straight out of Jesus' mouth.
Two things I want us to think about this morning from this passage. There's a bulletin insert if it's helpful
John
for
says,
you to
I want you to believe
follow
the same things
along
about
the basic outline and to
for us and
maybe
you and I,
jot
what that
some
means
notes
is
if that's
you
not
and I are to believe
helpful
old
to you.
Things
no,
about
no big,
Jesus.
No big deal. But
old
verses
things 18
that
through 23,
are old insofar as these
I
are the things
to think
the apostles
about
what
Jesus.
I'm going to call
now,
an
I guarantee
explanation
you,
there,
there's still things that you and I need to know that are, in a sense, new to
with
us,
those who do not.
That we need to learn that the apostles
some
have taught
and
us and proclaimed to us in Holy
in
Scripture concerning Jesus.
23.
And so we are, in that
and
sense, ever learning new things.
These
but these new things that we're learning are not new. They're new to us, but they are as old as Jesus and the apostles.
Jesus and who doesn't?
If what we would stand here and teach and promote this morning, that if Jesus shows up or John shows up and they go, huh?
That
where'd you get that?
Us to
we don't even want
to
go there.
Or to remain.
We want Jesus and John to be comfortable to affirm exactly what we would be believing
us.
And promoting about Jesus.
All right, let's look at these
one at a time. First of all,
because we have been given explanation, a beautiful historical truth who belong to Jesus
that doesn't need to be new and improved or revised or added to.
I don't know if you've already kind of caught the flavor of how
the early
verses
church,
18
remember there in
to 23
Acts chapter 2
are,
when the early church
oriented
was formed by the
hand,
Holy Spirit
maybe your mind
and came
is
together
reeling
as,
of,
as brother and sister in Christ. One of the first
here.
Things we're told when they became followers of Christ, it says
the anointed
and they,
who,
in
and
Acts 2:41, and they devoted themselves.
These things.
And what's the first
other
thing
that
you might have missed is that there's a
the
clear,
teach.
If you would, us and them feel in verses 18 to 23. A very clear, there's them.
Now the church
and there's
is
us.
Certainly more
right, let's kind of
than a teaching place.
And first, let's talk about
we are
them.
A community to live.
Since they're not
life
here to
together.
Defend themselves. Let's talk bad about. No, I'm just kidding. But
and so the
let's,
church
let's
is
talk
much
about them. Who's
more
the them?
Than
well,
a
he says,
place.
Children, it is the last hour.
It
now,
must be never
in the Bible,
than a teaching
The way the Bible
because
arranges time stamps
that we are to
maybe
do
not
with
the way
each
you
other
and I would think of time
outside
stamps,
of teaching must be
informed
by the teaching.
We in the Bible, how the Bible uses that sort of term is the time
we would commit
frame of
ourselves
in
our
the
cause of being faithful
of Christ
followers
and the
of Jesus.
Of Christ
we would commit ourselves to gathering consistently,
hour.
Habitually,
that's a pretty long
together
hour.
As
that's
followers
what, you know,
of the Lord
so far,
Jesus Christ.
We're at about 2,000
among
years.
Other things, but
well,
first
God
and foremost,
really
to receive instruction in
yeah,
the
I don't
teachings
know what,
of the apostles.
What moment or second we are
apostles.
In this last hour, but I do know this that when the pages of the New Testament was written for us by the apostles, they lived
red,
with a confidence
or
that
black,
the return
or white,
of our Lord
whether
Jesus
we're young,
Christ was
or
imminent.
We're old, or whether we're male, or whether we're female,
and you
or
and
whether
I
we're white collar, or whether we're blue collar, or whether you went to this high school,
or
whether you went to
that
high school.
That
nevertheless,
ought to be
what ought to bind us together,
Christ might return
what
at any
you people
moment.
Got in common?
And that freshness
what we've got in
of that realization of Christ's return
a desire
to alter the way we would live our
Lord
lives
Jesus
this
Christ
day and this week.
As he has been taught to about.
So this is the last hour. And yet the Scripture describes some weird things
that's
that begin breaking out and unfolding.
And that itself,
when we
very
closer and closer to the imminence of that last hour. And one of which is the Scriptures describe
of the
something called the Antichrist. Which I don't know that I could put together in a perfect
wide
fashion
birth of species
who or what that critter
together.
Is. And it would bind us together out of a common love.
But apparently,
and
near
the
end
of time, there will be one last
Lord Jesus
big
Christ
rebellion against
to us
the gospel
and
against
the
Lord Jesus Christ.
The apostles.
How do we know we have the Spirit's anointing? We love what the apostles have taught us about Jesus. We believe what the apostles have taught us about Jesus. How do we know we have the anointing? We want our lives altered by the teachings of the apostles.
But what he's describing
is a species, a critter that he describes as Antichrist.
Christianity
is
a set of doctrinal
there in verse 18, there's So now there are many. They're already here.
See,
they're already roaming around.
Immense.
There's a lot of Antichrists scattered about in John's time. And I would suggest to you, since
Christ.
This too is the last hour, that even in our time.
When it goes on, so like, let
what
you've heard.
What world is that? I mean, do
from
I work with an Antichrist? I mean, does that explain my brother-in-law? I mean, it's just like you know what are we talking about here with this Antichrist?
The
well,
the
simplest plainest
you,
meaning. I mean,
if
we could perhaps figure out a way to creatively make
true,
it more fanciful. But here in this context, an Antichrist is simply someone who does not really believe and teach.
I can't think of anything that's more
about the one true Christ.
We say
he said
someone
who has a false belief because what they are believing in regard to Christ is untrue.
Let it abide in you. If you nourish it and cherish it and pursue it
and even more specifically, what we're talking about is even as early as the first century, there were people who were believing untrue things about Jesus.
Son
And John says anybody who believes untrue things about Jesus is,
because just a second ago,
sense, a little a antichrist. He or she is against Christ. He or she is opposed to Christ. Their unbelief or their false belief is symptomatic of their being antagonistic toward Christ.
Getting Jesus wrong. It matters immensely what you and
don't
I
mean to be overly simplistic,
understand about Christ.
And yet, the universe, in this second sense, could be divided
that if you let those teachings
and one or two species are divided in terms of
you will
how
abide,
one regards
you will
and what one believes
and
what one loves about the Lord
the
Jesus
Father.
Christ.
Christianity
we are either
is a set of doctrinal
all in
beliefs,
with Christ,
but Christianity
or we are apathetic and have a disdain for
an experiential
Christ.
Way of life.
That Christ
it matters
is
the dividing line
as
of the universe.
To the
I don't say that to
haughtily
throw a gauntlet
as we
down,
live
but,
in
but
relationship
as we gather here this morning,
Jesus,
what you and I believe and affirm and love and
sometimes
live in light of concerning
say,
the Lord Jesus Christ.
Just a doctrine.
Is the
Doesn't
issue
matter.
Of whether or not
it alters
we are
your life.
An
it's
antichrist.
Just
well, that's not biblical.
On the other hand, it says, doesn't matter what you believe about Jesus, just be sincere and feel Jesus
then
in your heart.
You say, well, what am I supposed to believe about Christ?
I'm glad you asked.
Take us there either. But the Scripture beautifully weds this together.
Here in John's context,
so
I believe what
Paul
he's referring
to Timothy
is those
say,
people who have adopted beliefs and therefore promote
closely.
Teachings about Christ
Christianity
that does not accord with
a set
what
of
the apostles believe
about
and
Christ.
Taught about
on the other hand, Christianity is an experiential way of life.
This is so crucial for us to grab a hold of because
there is something
the culture
very,
that we live
very
in. Lots of people know lots of things
you
about
and I
Jesus
are to believe.
In our culture.
About
lots
Jesus.
Of people even think that they've made
what
a
you and
a
I
and
are
a
to believe
tip of the hat,
and therefore live out
toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore in their own mind they're okay with the big man upstairs because they know
Jesus
a few things about Jesus.
Should correspond.
They think, well,
to
see
the
there,
very
I believe those things.
And
yet they don't really truly abide. Abide in the Son and in the Father. Their
several
life is
ago,
not shaped by a living, vital union
we
with the Son
report,
in the Spirit.
A business report, a financial report from the CPA of the convention. And
they would acknowledge an assent to these things about Jesus,
the CPA,
but their hearts
in the context,
are far
someone,
from
someone,
Jesus.
Jesus doesn't
made kind of
alter
an
the holy way they live
the
or
term,
even the things that they
that
love
I forget
or
exactly
don't
what the details
love.
Were, but someone said, well, do you call that creative accounting?
It's not for you and I
and boy,
to determine the destiny and
I mean,
the soul
just,
of somebody
that came out
what
of her
we do
skin
have
at
is
that
we do
moment.
Have immense help from
I don't like
to
the term creative
out.
Accounting. As an accountant, I don't do anything that's creative. As an accountant,
you know,
I want to be precise and accurate and faithful.
Believes true things
you know,
about
well,
Jesus.
In a sense,
accurate things.
What you and I believe
it was the
about
devil
the
himself
Lord Jesus
that
Christ
spoke to someone
is
in
not
the
gospel
something
that
is called Jesus
to our own
the
devices
Holy One of
and
God.
Opinions and creativities.
Well, that's an accurate confession.
What
that's
you
a
and
good
I
doctrinal statement about
understand
Jesus.
And believe and therefore love and live out in our lives. It is
but
to be as old as what the apostles
things.
Taught
it's,
about the
it
Lord
hasn't,
Jesus Christ.
He doesn't love those things.
The things that you and I would gather here
His
this morning and sing about concerning Jesus and pray
things.
About to the
In
Lord
fact,
Jesus
even though he knows
and
those
proclaim
things, he
from the word about the Lord Jesus, if the Apostle John, who wrote this letter, was sitting right there, he shouldn't hear anything.
Says, how do
that
I know I have the
know
anointing that I grasp true things
says,
about Jesus.
That's a new
how do
one
I know I
me.
Have the anointing?
We don't
I continue
go new
in
one
believing
John.
Those true
we
things
stay
about Jesus.
With what John
how do I know
and the
I have
the
anointing of the Holy Spirit upon me? I continue in a way of life that reflects
Christ.
An embracement
well,
of the truth
that, that's
of
what
the
Antichrist
Lord Jesus Christ.
Here in this context, they had faulty and false
and finally,
understandings and therefore
and this is
falsely
verse
promoted
this is the promise that he made
a false rendition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there about them,
when the Bible
how
describes
he says
eternal
that,
life, it certainly talks about
in verse 22,
adoration
who is
of
the liar?
Life. It even talks
it is
about
he
a
who denies
that
Jesus
that
is
life.
The Christ.
But when the Bible talks
this
about
is the Antichrist,
life,
who denies the Father
life,
and the Son.
Which is typified. Words,
and what
by
he explains here is it's a package deal. You get the Son wrong, you're going to get the Father wrong. Because the Son is nothing other
John
than
17,
just
a split image of
the
his
one
Father.
Who wrote this, John
and
wrote
so
another
you,
John.
We go wrong with Jesus,
this is
we go
eternal
wrong
life,
with the Father,
that you may know the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Antichrist had wrong beliefs.
There's
wrong
no one, there's nothing
that
satisfies and fills our hearts quite like
about them
knowing what it looks
they,
like to live in relationship
that conversation
with the
there,
very God.
They went out from us, but they were not of us.
In fact, I would suggest
or
to
if
you
they had been
that
of us,
at the very
they would
center
have continued
of the
with
universe.
Us.
There is
but they
God.
Went out.
But
that
even
it
more
might
particularly,
plain
what's the
that
nature
of us
and character, the makeup of this God at the center of
no,
the
he,
universe?
John is explaining
is
to
God
this church
who is
that he's
revealed himself
to, because this is what he really is.
Is
a God who has revealed
of
himself
leave
as a Father who loves
well,
his
here
Son
in this particular
in the
context,
of the Holy Spirit.
Why
what we have is a
why
God
those
is
people
a community
left
of people,
that church, or maybe
who
even were
loving
from that
church,
probably left, but might have been removed from the community.
Of salvation
there
truly is,
through our Lord Jesus Christ,
what they believed
about
brought
Jesus
in to
was
that
wrong.
Loving relationship
it was false.
Between the Father and the Son and the Holy
words,
Spirit.
This is more than maybe what you and I see today.
So
it's like,
we strive
to know
leave the church,
true
you know,
things
well,
about
when
this
we go to a church
Christ
down the road or whatever.
And,
you know,
and
that,
how
this is
he
this was this is a bigger this is a more serious problem than someone
Father,
saying,
Son,
you know,
I want
those
true things
no longer
about
be a part
Father,
of this church because I
want to
join that church for this reason or that reason or so on and so forth. No, the reason that these people had left the church that John is writing to is because what they preached and practiced in regard to Jesus was
confessing
wrong.
Christ.
They were not simply
confessing
leaving
Christ
one church to join another church. They were leaving the faith and abandoning Jesus.
In this last
much
hour,
deeper, serious
confessing
issue
Christ
than simply transferring one's letter from one church to the next.
Eternal
they
salvation.
Had rejected the Son.
Confessing Christ
on
this day at this
and,
moment
and that got proven
leads
over time
to you being brought into
because
the
over time they were no longer gathering together with the saints that in the context of gathering with the saints
Christ
that they might hear
today,
and receive and live out the teachings of Jesus as per the apostles' teaching
one day.
So whether they got fed up with the apostles' teaching, bored with the apostles' teaching, or put out because they defied and rejected the apostles' teaching, it became clear that they really didn't belong to Jesus in the first place.
Jesus is Lord to the glory of the
Father. That's a scary thought. And really in the next few weeks we'll even look at that more. But because really the operating premise of what John is saying to us this morning is that if you and I truly do believe in the Lord Jesus
Christ,
we will in fact be those who continue believing rightly.
Thank you for your word
in the Lord
Jesus
Christ.
Thank you for how your word
that's part of God's commitment to get each of his things that we wouldn't figure out safely home.
How your spirit
anoints
us
by causing
us
to persevere in believing and loving and promoting true things about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Father, we want
well,
to believe
enough
true
about the Antichrist
about
then.
Jesus.
He, in a sense, Father, he throws another interesting phrase at us as we continue. Verse 20. So now we've talked about them. Now let's talk about us, if you would. Verse 20. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have knowledge, or you know.
Kind of look around and say, wow. So like which one of us is this pertain? Which one of us have this anointing by the Holy One?
I mean, we when we first hear that, it may land on us and we might think, well, I know that one TV preacher, he says that he has an anointing on him. I mean, he's sure able to make a lot of money doing that and whatnot. But so is that what we're talking about? Some kind of fanciful, top-tier, high echelon person who claims to know Christ? Well, here in this context, when he says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, he's talking to all true believers, All who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what we have? I mean, we're not used to thinking of it this way, but guess what we have? If we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have an anointing by the Holy One. Let me unpack that. First of all, I would suggest to you that in this context, the Holy One is probably a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the Holy One of Israel. And what's interesting, we know Jesus as the Christ. And again, sometimes we just think that that's his last name, you know. But the term Christ is not a last name. It's a beautiful title. And the word Christ or Messiah really connotes the notion of being anointed by God. So in a sense, the first and truest one anointed is Jesus Christ himself. He is the Christ, the anointed one. And Jesus Christ, the anointed one, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, meaning that he was set apart by God unto God to think and to feel and to live in holy ways in relationship to the holy God. And I say that to say, how did Jesus pull off the kind of life he pulled off? I mean, it was a perfect life. It was a righteous life. It was a life of complete obedience. It was a life in which he honored and loved and worshiped his Father in heaven flawlessly. How did he pull that life off? He had the anointing of the Holy Spirit on him. Jesus Christ was the first and the original anointed one. And yet what I would suggest to you that, how did Jesus live the life he lived? He lived that life in the anointing presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you and I are to live a life as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're like, oh, you're kidding me, right? I mean, I have to like perfectly, flawlessly follow the perfect one? Mm-hmm. But not in your own strength. When he says that here that we have been anointed by the Holy One, what he is saying is that the very anointing given by the Holy Spirit upon Jesus is now the same Holy Spirit that anoints us. Jesus has shared his anointing with his people, and the Holy Spirit now has landed on us, now literally indwells us, now literally seals us until our final day of redemption. So it may sound odd to say we are the anointed ones, anointed by the Holy One. And yet what's really meant by that is we have been given the Holy Spirit of God. And since therein lies the huge difference as to why we would not be lumped into the category of antichrists, those who would believe and promote false things about Jesus. The reason why we wouldn't be in that cackle, that category, is by the grace of God, the very anointing, the Holy Spirit that came upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is now the Holy Spirit that has come upon us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who illuminates our minds to think rightly about who Jesus is and what he has done. It's the Holy Spirit that enlivens our hearts so that we not only think rightly about the Lord Jesus Christ, but we love these true things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he not only illuminates our minds and enlivens our hearts, but he now unleashes our wills so that we gladly want to follow and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, the game changer as to why I would not be, or you be, or us be an antichrist is because the anointing of the Holy Spirit would come upon us and cause our hearts to understand Jesus. I mean, our minds to understand Jesus and our hearts to love Jesus and our wills to serve and to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ.
So thus you all have knowledge, or thus you all know. In other words, we all understand and love and submit to the truth concerning who Jesus is and what he has done. Ultimately, if your life and my life is shaped by the truth as it is found in Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel's message about the Lord Jesus Christ, if our life is shaped by that truth, ultimately we owe that to the gracious work of the Spirit who has fallen on us and indwells us and seals us. That sort of, if you would, anointing is not given out to just a few select Christians. It is an anointing that has come upon each and every Christian. You're saying, so I can start a TV ministry and make some money? Well, you probably don't have the anointing. I don't. But anyway, that misses the point, doesn't it? You see, the Antichrists affirm lies about Jesus, cherish and hold false truths about Jesus, and therefore live in accordance with those lies in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I move on to the second point, I want to make something clear. It is as vital as it is for you and I to believe true things about Jesus. You and I are not saved, or specifically, you and I are not established in a right relationship with God through Jesus by how we have figured out on our own true things about Jesus. In other words, we don't save ourselves because we're smart enough to figure out true things about Jesus. That would be another lie that would be reflective of a spirit of Antichrist rather than a spirit of God. No, we are saved by Christ. We don't save ourselves. In fact, not only are we incapable of saving ourselves, but the truth be known, apart from the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we don't have enough awareness to know that we even need to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll motor through life thinking, I'm good, I'm a pretty good person, at least I'm better than that person. And, you know, kind of the proverbial, I don't have to outrun the bear, I just have to outrun you. You know, I may not be the perfect person, but, I mean, I'm just hoping that, you know, the cutoff is with that person, and I'm better than that person. And so that person will probably go to hell, but I'm a little bit better than that person, so I'm hoping that, you know, to carry the day. And we don't save ourselves by the performance of our lives, by the affirmation of a creed. We don't save ourselves by thinking that we're smart enough to figure out this and that and so on and so forth. We understand that we are unable to save ourselves, that Jesus Christ has come and done what we cannot do for ourselves. He came, he being God himself, the second person of the Godhead, he, the Son of God, came and took on flesh and became a man, not ceasing to become God, but became the God-man, and he lived a perfect life. In other words, everything about him was righteous and flawless. And then he went to the cross, and there at the cross, as he was physically suffering and suffocating and shedding his blood and dying, there was a whole lot more going on at that moment. And what he was doing is he took the sins of people like you and me, and all who would in fact trust in Christ, and he bore up under the curse, the judgment, the wrath of those sins. He did that gladly, willingly. For the joy set before him, he endured the suffering of the cross. He did that for us and for our good, and he was glad to do it. Yeah. And he did that, taking our sin upon himself and bearing up under its penalty so that the wrath of God would be abated from us, so that any and all who are trusting in Jesus not only no longer have the wrath of God hanging over our heads, but we've now been adopted into the very family of God. We are now the well-loved children of the one true God.
We have now been indwelt by the Spirit of God. We are now sons and daughters, and all of that is by the grace of God, received through trusting in Christ. Not a false Christ, but the Christ as he is revealed by the apostles in the Holy Scriptures. We cannot believe just whatever we think we want to believe or want to believe. We want to embrace the truth of Christ, for therein lies how we experience the anointing of Christ by his Spirit. John wrote in his gospel the words of our Lord, and when he spoke of the Holy Spirit, he says, "He will guide you into all truth concerning me." And we're so thankful for the Spirit of God.